Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you who have not ever listened to TechNori, shame on you. TechNori is an awesome show, I think. But then again, I'm the host of it, so that's probably a little biased. What is TechNori? Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured. And to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Talent Savvy, Christy Nitzkoff, right?
Yep.
Yes, I pronounced the name right.
Tough one.
Congratulations.
It's really not if you read it like a normal person, but
yeah,
I don't know how to read.
You'd be surprised. Oh, I agree. It's like phonetically accurate.
But see, I get in my own head about this. I say this to everyone.
The S and the K.
And it's, you got to be careful. There's word. You're like, in my head, I'm thinking phonetically, these words look like these letters look like this should be how it goes. And then in my head, I'm like, but it couldn't be. That's too simple. And then I use some sort of fancy version of it, and they're always looking at me like, no.
You got to have more faith in yourself, man.
You should have seen how. Oh yeah, you should have seen how long I stared at the word Wagner. You know, I just, I'm kidding. I was able to figure that one out. So we were introduced by a former guest who was on here, Cy, who was at Capital One, and you were actually at the Women in Tech event that we did there, which we haven't even pushed out yet, which we're going to, I hope, sometime very soon. I don't really know why we haven't, but we will. Tell me a little bit more about Talent Savvy and what you do and sort of your. You know, your world, I guess.
Sure, yeah. So Talent Savvy is a company that I founded last March. So coming up on our one-year anniversary, which is very exciting. With Talent Savvy, I work with growing organizations to help them optimize their talent attraction strategy. So it's not just making a one-off placement for a hire they need right now, but it's really setting them up for success for the long term, connecting with talent, not only where they need it today, but also what they're gonna need next quarter and next year and the next 2 years. So I focus a lot on employment branding, on process optimization, on interview training, anything that you can think of that's gonna allow an organization to, one, identify what is the talent that we need right now, what do we want, what's our story to put out there in the market, and how are we going to find the best match with not only what we need, but what we can offer?
You know, it's funny. This is obviously the industry of recruiting and things like this has been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. There is a new version of this, and it's been going off. It's growing so rapidly.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with the fact that millennials are kind of hard to like wrangle, and companies want to get the most talented, whether it's devs or whatever. They want to get the most talented people. And so now companies themselves have to actually advertise.
Absolutely.
I mean, you always had to advertise like we're hunting for a job and it's a hiring market and so forth. Now you literally have to place an ad like, it's fun to work with us. You know, every person who works with us, they have to like make sure you leave and tell everyone you left because you love the place and you want, you know, we gave you an opportunity to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy to me.
It's a whole new game.
It is. It's so like I have a bunch of friends in placement and they, you know, work in recruiting firms all over the place. And some of them that are a little bit more old school are really having a hard time.
Struggling.
They're struggling. And companies like Talent Savvy, of course. It's not helping them out any, but that, you know what?
I partner with a lot of recruiting agencies, though.
Because you're going to partner with these people. They're not very good.
No, probably not that. No, but they're, I mean, I think sometimes recruiters, placement folks get a bad rap because there's some shady and sliminess out there, of course. However, if you have the right partners around you, I mean, you need each other. And a lot of times when I come into a client, I help sort of align their vendor strategy. So they're using some outdated methods. I will look at their entire recruitment spend budget, reallocate it, and say, tell you what, if you need to hire these five devs in Q1, let me recommend a firm for you to use.
Yeah.
Because obviously what you're doing right now isn't working. And my strategy is more about that passive candidate, long-term play. But if you need five devs this month, like, let me connect you with someone that can help you there.
Very, very interesting. I think, you know, I guess I have a question for you on this is when you, so I assume that you worked in recruiting and things like that prior to this.
Yeah.
Did you, and this is something for entrepreneurs across the board, like this is, if you are sitting in a job right now that you don't like listening to this podcast, this is a moment to like take the bagel out of your mouth for a second and listen. did you find that you had success in that career because you had figured out a process, a way to do it that you thought was better, faster, more efficient, and then decided you could do this better on your own and sort of spun off and just now you're essentially monetizing a process you built while you were working somewhere else. Is that a fair?
That's very, very accurate, actually. And I'd done it really twice. I mean, I started on the agency side of placement got my MBA, switched over to corporate, and with two different organizations, one of where I met Sairam, who introduced us, it was coming into a like blank slate. One was established company. They'd been their global organization called Mintel, their global market research company. But when I got there, they'd been around for 50 years, but they had no strategy for recruitment. It was, and these were hard to fill roles, these like high level specific market research roles. So in school, I studied leadership and change management, which is not only helping people with decision-making processes, but it's also a lot of how do we get decisions pushed through and how do we put in the right processes to do that.
Are you a Go Cats person also?
DePaul.
Oh, DePaul. Okay. Yeah. Well, we had a streak.
I know.
We had a streak.
So sorry to break that up.
No, but it's fine.
So yes, at Mintel, that was the first time I got to say, listen, I'm crushing it on the goals that you've set for me to fill these roles. I want to do all these other things. And my boss was amazing and was like, yeah, do it. You have to manage it, but do it. And then when I left them, I thought I wanted to run an HR department, which is the role that I took at Visa Now. And a lot of process optimization there, but it was also a lot of benefits and payroll and all the things that I absolutely hated.
Everybody does.
Right. So I got to the point in my head where I'm like, okay, wouldn't it be great, especially in what's happening in the talent landscape right now, to focus on only what I love the most, which is building and creating and helping companies tell their story in a way they weren't able to before. But to do it across the board versus joining one company and doing it for them for 2.5 years. I'd love to be able to do it with as many companies as possible and focusing only on what I love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if you could in a short, I want to stay kind of on the conversation of talent because I do think there's something there. But since we just kind of covered it, what do you think were the first steps or the way that you were able to spurn off and start your own thing? Because I feel like that's the part where, you know, a lot of the companies we've had on here, like, for example, Civis Analytics, the founder knew exactly what he was going to do. It's a very big organization. He had huge, you know, scalability and all kinds of things. The average person working behind a desk doing a specific task at a company, I think that they're afraid of being able to do it on their own. How did you, you know, how did you get started?
Hell yeah, it's scary. I mean, and it's something that I thought of for a while. I knew that I wanted to own my own business since I was a kid. And that idea has changed many different times as to what that was going to be. But then when I was working in tech as the head of talent, I connected with so many other really just talented individuals that were sort of going it the same way I am, which is trial by error. And I thought back to, okay, when I was in tech, right after we got venture capital funding, I needed help so badly because I had to triple the company size and do all these different things, and I had no help, and I had no idea what to do. But I made it up, and I hired a great team, and we were successful. So looking back at that process, that gave me sort of the legitimacy in my mind to say, I can help other companies do that because I've been in that situation where I'm like, what the hell do I do now?
Yeah.
So that was really the push that I needed when I was talking to other friends in the industry, and they're all like, oh, yeah, we're definitely struggling with that too. And you hear that conversation over and over and over, and you're like, okay, there is a need here. And if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? You know, I don't have kids. Like, I don't have those other obligations yet in life where it's like, I got to give it a shot.
Very cool. I guess now when we talk more about the actual hiring side of things, what do you think right now are the most popular positions that you're trying to fill? Like, what are people looking for? What is what are the hot trends, as they say?
I mean, definitely dev, right? I mean, the whole tech side is exploding. Especially in Chicago, and there is such a shortage right now. So it really is a problem.
Do you think there's a shortage of talent here in Chicago right now, or do you think it's more just I feel like there are so many young talent, like right out of college, developers that are decided that they're going to start their own thing first, or they're going to try to first. Maybe that's just prolonging, you know, the inevitable. But there's so many of them that are not applying for these jobs. Do you think they're not here, or are they just not applying?
Both. I think it's a matter of a gap where you do have these people that just graduated from a coding boot camp or they have their CS degree, whatever it is. But a lot of the companies in Chicago that are doing awesome things and hiring a lot of like software developers and engineers and all that stuff, they're looking for that like mid to senior level hire. So there's a gap in what's available.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people coming out with raw talent and awesome skills, but they need to go to a company that's going to be able to train them up. And a lot of the companies don't have that mid-level talent to sort of bridge that gap. So it's sort of a disconnect.
How do you think we could fix that? Like, what would you, you know, obviously education and stuff like that, but how do you, is it awareness? Do you think that they're, I mean, we've talked to a bunch of different recruiters and different companies out here, obviously, and I always end up coming back to this point of, like, we're going to come together a little bit, and then there's going to spread out into, like, a gig economy again. Mm-hmm. There's more of that where people have that, you're a developer at this job, and you also have your own side and hustle kind of thing.
Yep.
How are you working to kind of find the talent? Like, where are you finding it?
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of what I help my clients to uncover. How do we do that? Because like you said originally, the landscape is completely changing. And it's no longer post something and wait for applications or whatever that looks like. It's very much about getting out there into the marketplace and actually connecting with people face to face. And obviously branding yourself appropriately on social media and on your career site and things like that. But it's really getting out there as sort of that, to use an overused cliche, thought leader in a space to say, this is a cool project that we're working on, and let's get some of our tech team up here to talk about what it's like working here and providing that authentic experience so they're actually able to connect with folks who maybe aren't looking right now, but when they hear something cool and they hear about growth opportunities and what a company is committed to philanthropically, that really starts to resonate. So it's about meeting those people where they are, and that means attending industry events and hosting meetups and doing, you know, open houses to show off your new office. Anything you can to really bring your company sort of in front of their face, literally, is going to help.
So you're saying that if all of us want jobs and things, we actually have to go to these networking events?
You actually have to shake some hands.
Oh,
I know.
I hate doing that.
I know.
Millennials
I know.
Don't like meeting humans.
No, they do not. But there's like tweet ups.
There's tweet ups?
I love tweeting.
What is that?
Are you serious?
I'll tweet.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Tweet and get a job?
There's a tweet up?
But you
there's
saw
like tons of tweet
ups.
Yeah, people like will just start following a hashtag and they'll like join the conversation. Like I've seen companies.
What do people do with their lives?
I agree. They'll be like, Monday at 1 p.m., join our tweet up. And I'm like, I hope these people are looking for a job because they're currently at a job.
Oh, yeah.
Live tweeting, yeah. Which is all public. So it's an interesting approach.
You know what? I wasn't even going to go there, but you hit on something where I have to go here. What do you, when you see people and you talk to people, whether it's on the corporate side or it's on the hiring side, or I guess to be hired side, what do you tell them? Like people, I don't understand, like some of the millennials and even younger and even older that I actually see a lot of not quite retired, but getting closer that are just on Facebook now and that sort of thing and have no understanding of protocol, no understanding of like the privacy stuff.
Yep.
And they're at their work, like on Facebook, writing things and just like saying stuff like, you know, I can see the time stamp and it actually even tells me that you're in, like, I'm in Lamont right now. Like, I wonder where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you, like, do you spend time telling people, like, obviously you are on the branding side.
Sure.
Do you spend time telling people like, hey, ixnay on the overhay? Like, what do you...
I think when it becomes a problem, I mean, luckily, you know, in the HR, when I was on the HR side, it came up much more often. And you're having those what seem like remedial conversations like, by the way, you shouldn't be watching Netflix at your desk. Like those types of conversation happened. It's crazy.
But I used to watch Netflix at my desk.
So, and now,
how else do you pass the time?
Yeah.
That's true, especially when you're on the clock.
Yeah. I was doing Excel sheets for hours. Was like, I'm not going to do this all day.
Well, that's why you need the dual monitor set up. So got like the Netflix
on that.
One side, you know.
I was listening to it, you know.
Right. Attention is completely devoted to work. That's just like background noise.
It helps me.
But seriously, like a lot of companies I've seen, they'll like block Facebook or block access to whatever at work, which personally I think is like trust your employees. And
I think that's an absolutely terrible approach.
It's stupid. It's like saying we don't trust you to make an informed decision of how to spend your day.
Yeah.
It's just silly. And then they start griping about it and then they just get derailed.
Everything just goes completely off the
hook.
Yeah.
It's like a bad cycle. I think if you can, a lot of the things I do with my clients is I help their employees, not just the ones who are hiring and not just the people on the recruiting team, but literally every employee, if they want to, learn how to brand their company from an employment branding standpoint.
Yeah.
Because the best way to spread the word about your organization is through your employers anyway. So educating folks on what should be shared, what parts of your day do we hope to see out there, without it being like, if you're not posting on social media about our company, you know, you shouldn't be working here. But it's just an exciting thing for someone to embrace, spread the word about why their company is awesome, which then reflects on them being more awesome in their own head.
It blows my mind how many organizations operate essentially like a school, like it's like a high school.
Right.
And if you treat your employees, your adult employees, like you would treat your child that is your actual child,
right,
you've got a problem. You're gonna have the same problems that you have at house in the house, mm-hmm. which is door slamming, bad mouthing underneath the rolling of the eyes, yeah. under the breath conversation, and oh, by the way, they will find a way to get on Facebook anyway.
Exactly.
They're going to use it on the app, or like there's all kinds of
They'll
ways to
find a way.
It just boggles my mind with some of the stuff. And then also, like, not to go on a complete tangent, but it's like the idea of the way companies and people, for that matter, are using social media and like in a branding way that's inauthentic. Mm-hmm. Like, you think people don't know?
Right, right.
Like, you think people can't tell when you're writing, like, I know that everything I've ever said before this would contradict what I'm about to say, but I really enjoy kale. I can't wait to eat kale. Brought to you by, you know, it's...
Exactly. Well, and that's one thing you get to be careful about, which I call providing a consistent candidate experience,
yeah.
where whatever your marketing or HR team or external team is writing about your company for the careers page is consistent with what they're seeing on the job description, is consistent with what they're seeing on their other social media pages, but also consistent with the way that you're treated when you come in for an interview. If you're reading all this stuff about, oh, this organization, you know, we trust our employees and we're all about empowerment and we're fun and blah, blah, blah. And you get in there and it feels like you're walking to the back of a bank vault and you're like, oh, my God, it's so stuffy in here. Mm. That's not telling the right story.
No.
So the authentic piece is really important.
If you are, I've said this to companies before, if you are not, listen, not everybody cares in their entire life is associated with social impact.
Right.
If it is your mission, your founder's mission, your business mission, mm-hmm. that we are social impact and we do things a different way, and it's not just words, it's not verbiage, we do this, then do it.
Right.
But if you're not, don't do it.
Exactly.
There'll be plenty of people who don't care, who want to go home at the end of the day and have no interest
right.
in helping others. I would work at that company. No. I'm
God's
kidding.
Looking for you.
I'm just, yeah. Come work at this company. We go straight to the bar.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing, and you want to provide, you know, an authentic look, because if, to your point, if a job seeker is like, I don't care about any of that crap, then they're going to find the right opportunity for them, but it's got to be a match on both sides.
100%.
And if they see, oh, by the way, half a day out of every week is dedicated to XYZ, and that person's like, I would hate that, let them realize they would hate that while they're still a candidate, not once they're an employee.
One great free tip for both sides of this. Give one tip for companies that are looking to brand themselves in the right way for hiring great candidates, and one tip for candidates to stop playing on Facebook.
Sure. For the company side, I would say start today. It can be something as easy as a recruiter or anybody in your organization taking like a quick picture of themselves with their team at lunch.
Lining up against the wall of the vault.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything that you're like, this captures what my day was like today.
Yeah.
It can start small. So you don't have to have an year-long content strategy laid out. It can be like, this was my day today.
Yep.
And then just try and start from there. Doesn't have to have a large budget attached, but start soon. On the candidate side, make sure that you are always branding yourself. Because especially in Chicago and especially in the talent market as it is now, needs change so fast, and your own thoughts and feelings about your current position, your current company can change fast. So don't wait until you're ready to leave your company to start having conversations around what you're really looking for out of a new position, because you never know when that's going to come your way.
Very good advice. Where do people go to learn more about Talent Savvy?
You can go to my website, which is talent-savvy.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn and also on Twitter.
Very cool.
Talent Savvy _HR.
And I assume you post wonderful blogs and things.
I do like to post blog stuff, yeah. I posted stuff with The Muse, which is a really fun partner, because they have a lot of the same target audience that I do. And I had the opportunity with a client of mine in Q4 to help onboard them to The Muse, and that was it's a cool process. They're thinking about the right
things. I love The Muse. Yeah. I think it's awesome. It's actually funny that you said that, because that's like a perfect, in my mind, that's a perfect synergy with you.
Exactly.
Very cool.
So it was a good partnership to have.
Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. Absolutely. I want to plug, before we head out of the show today, I want to plug January 31st. We've got the Technoria event is going to be back at Chase Auditorium. Ooh. That's 6 to 8:30 p.m. This is going to be a loaded event. We have four of the five companies that are going to be on stage are going to actually be currently running active equity crowdfunding campaigns on the republic.co platform. Two of the companies are coming from Los Angeles. One is veteran owned, which is really cool. The other one, Aristotle, which you guys know well, we've had Ware Ellison, and they actually have already met their goal and they're doing very well. The other one I'm really excited to announce is parachutekids.com. Desiree Vargas Wrigley, who is the founder of previously she worked at Give Forward, which got sold. She was on our stage launching that. She was on our stage as a keynote, and Desiree will be back on stage now again to launch Parachute Kids, which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
So also, I think everyone should want to check that out. But then last but certainly not least, our keynote, you will have to check the email to get all the name and details, but she is the founder of Women 2.0, and I cannot be more excited. She'll be coming in from San Francisco. It's going to be a very, very great showcase, as Donald Trump would say, very, very tremendous showcase. It's very, 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 very impressive.
Huge.
I have small hands. Anyway, everyone got it. See? Just caught people off guard there.
At the very end, snuck it
so
in.
Please do check it out. Go to technoria.com and find the ticket slot there. And tell us, please, what you think of the new events portal. I think it's great. You can stream this episode and more at technoria.com. You can stay up to date with our Technoria news feed and stories and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technoria. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.